97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
The Mark Reardon Show.
Loser, loser, loser.
Witch hunt, scam, hoax.
You're going to literally see the craters on the moon with your own eyes.
My name is Joe Biden. Can't sing, can't dance, can't do much of anything.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Well, that's not true, Mr. President. You could classify how many 70, 80 million people as garbage, right? Sue, I thought that we would start this afternoon with a little music. I think this fits here.
All right.
See what you think.
Oh, I love trash. Anything dirty or dingy or dusty.
This is the new theme song for Kamala Harris.
Rotten or rusty.
And I'll tell you what, this thing has taken on a life of its own. And it's very fascinating because it comes on the heels of what happened at Madison Square Garden, right?
It's awful, holes,
I love that. Maybe my second favorite song after C is for Cookie. But let's get right into it here this afternoon because, you know, there's a couple of questions about what happened last night. But it's Marco Rubio, a.k.a. Lil Marco, let's face it, with Trump last night at a rally. And Fred, it's Rubio who basically tells Trump what Biden said, right?
Yeah, it happened while they were speaking. And someone came out and handed Rubio a slip of paper that explained what just happened. And Marco Rubio read it out loud and then handed it to the president to read himself. And then we've got the reaction.
Okay, so here's the, let me just play the original line from Biden. And this is the other weird thing, is that Kamala's doing her thing on the ellipse, right? And it's her closing argument. Did anyone watch that? Because I didn't watch it. I just saw some clips. It just seemed, you know, to use their word, weird. But at the same time, let's see if we get this right. At the same time she's doing that, he's on a Zoom call, right? And he's on a Zoom call, and he says this.
Just the other day, a speaker at his rally called Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable, and it's un-American. It's totally contrary to everything we've done.
Okay, so they hear that, then Rubio hears it, the campaign hears it, then they do this.
You may not have heard this. Just moments ago, Joe Biden stated that our supporters are garbage. Are garbage.
Wow. That's terrible. That's what it says. So you have, remember Hillary, she said deplorable. And then she said irredeemable, right? But she said deplorable. That didn't work out. Garbage, I think, is worse, right? But he doesn't know. You have to please forgive him. Please forgive him, for he not knoweth what he said.
So there's his take on that. And, you know, what it essentially did is it nullified any of the, you know, controversy or the criticism from the comedian the other night at Madison Square Garden. Now, Sue, I'm assuming you have heard the explanation by the White House and what they say here. And by the way, not only the explanation from the White House and KJP, but the rest of the media and how they frame this. So this is my favorite here. Politico wrote the story this way. A comedian who appeared ahead of Trump at Madison Square Garden in New York City on Sunday called the American territory an island of garbage. Biden, in a Zoom call with the organization Voto Latino, said, quote, the only garbage, unquote, and they stop it there, was the, quote, hatred, unquote, of Trump supporters who said such things about American citizens. That's not what he said, though, because we know what he said. Now, they want to put an apostrophe on it, and they want to say, oh, he just kind of screwed up here. He wasn't really talking about anyone or anyone that would, you know, refer to Trump supporters. But I don't think it's working for them right now. So let me play some of the examples here. This was good. This is Tom Bevin, who's on Fox.
It's obviously not great for the Harris campaign, just as, you know, Trump battled a couple of days of bad news cycles. And this couldn't come at a worse time. I mean, it happened while she was speaking, while she was giving her closing argument. This entire thing blew up, which begs the question, what was Joe Biden even doing on a Zoom call at that point in time?
Yeah.
And it reinforces the idea that Democrats, you know, well, they've just spent a couple of days calling Trump supporters Nazis for being at this rally. that they really they're alienating, you know, voters that they're going to need in these swing states here in the final week.
Ethan, remind me, who's the guy that I had you pull the bite from, the guy that was on with Jennings on CNN? What did we label that piece of audio? Because that was pretty good, too. So in the immediate aftermath of all this, what was happening is they were trying to spin it, right? Because it was starting to take on
right.
a life of its own. So this is Franklin Leonard, who's on CNN.
I don't know that I would expect this president to be everywhere in this moment. I mean, look, a critical element, any coach will tell you, any CEO will tell you, a critical element of running a team and winning is assessing the strengths and weaknesses of your team members and making sure you allocate them in the right way. Joe Biden has never been a big arena speaker. He's never been the most fluid speaker. And by the way, as someone who had a stutter growing up, it's very obvious to me that there's an apostrophe at the end of supporters there. He was referring to the garbage spewed by supporters, not simply the supporters themselves.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, see, you didn't get it. You heard it differently because you don't have a stutter. The only people that would understand the true intention of what Joe Biden was trying to say was someone who has a stutter. And we thank Mr. Leonard for making that very clear. It gets even better. On MSNBC.
Now, some on the right have seized that comment to mean his supporters, meaning Donald Trump's supporters, meaning all Trump supporters, half the country, saying the president is calling them garbage. The White House is saying, no, no, there's an apostrophe there. He's talking about his supporter.
An apostrophe.
His comments are unconscionable and un-American. That's the controversy last night.
Well, there's no controversy. I don't think there's a controversy. Joe Scarborough does.
Well, of course. And Donald Trump says shocking things every day in Fox News, and all of his apologists of the Republican Party immediately go to it and brush it off, explain it away, or just completely ignore it. Here, they're trying to make a firestorm out of something.
Keep
that,
trying, Joe.
Again, if you look at it, you look at what he said immediately afterward, which Donald Trump didn't say. He immediately afterwards said, no, that's not what I meant. I was talking about the comedian and people that supported that kind of talk. And, you know, Joe Biden obviously doesn't believe that.
Man, they are shilling over there. He doesn't believe that? Are you kidding me? What has he been saying? Listen to what he's been saying all along in this campaign. This guy has had two assassination attempts, if not more, because there have been suspects in some other things. And they want to talk about Donald Trump and the Republicans and the right's response to some of this and their rhetoric. It's laughable. That's why MSNBC and the gang at CNN are so hypocritical when it comes to this. I'd be the first to admit that Trump says things that are out there every once in a while, but they get dissected every day in the news. Let's just use very fine people. Let's compare and contrast this with very fine people. They, for years, there's some of them are still doing it, talking about the very fine people line. Completely manufactured and made up. He said it, but he said it with context. Now, they always want to put context in for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, right? Yeah. Never any context for Donald Trump. We're done with it, okay? We're sick of it. The country is on to you right now. It's an embarrassment what the legacy media keeps doing time and time again. The New York Times tried to do this with this story. It's really, now at this point in the election, we should probably come to expect it. Then the briefing room today, KJP.
And I just want to read that out to folks. So he was regarding to the comedian. And I quote, I refer to the hateful rhetoric about Puerto Rico spewed by Trump's supporter at his Madison Square Garden rally as garbage, which is the only word I can think of to describe it. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable. That's all I meant to say. The comments at the rally don't reflect who we are as a nation. And to your question, your other question that you asked, no, he does not view Trump supporters or anybody who supports Trump as garbage. That is not what he views.
Bull, you know what? He absolutely, and the left absolutely views you that way. And this is quite stunning to me. And I have a hard time getting my head wrapped around the numbers, but they claim, and by the way, the Washington Post did a story in their own newspaper about this. They claim that 250,000 subscribers have canceled their subscription to the Washington Post because Jeff Bezos decided not to endorse. So these are people that are so angry and so full of Trump derangement syndrome that they're canceling a subscription to basically a newspaper that is propaganda for their side 99% of the time. But because Jeff Bezos says no endorsement in this, they're going to cancel. I don't know where they're going to go. Go to NPR, where they all lie to you anyway. It's unreal what's happening. But the other thing that I find interesting about this whole episode is And this is one of the points I was trying to make yesterday. When I get in the car on Monday morning heading back from, I was in Texarkana, Texas, I heard CNN, the misogynistic, xenophobic, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. They never once, nor did MSNBC or any of the broadcast outlets, I don't know about the New York Times, they didn't identify that guy as a comedian. They basically said, Trump said this. Trump said
yeah,
it. It came out of Trump, xenophobic. They didn't try to put that into context, that this guy was a comedian. I admitted yesterday that I don't think the room was right. And one thing that Paul Morrow said that really resonated with me is the room wasn't even full at that point. So you're in an arena where everyone's not paying attention. I don't know that the lines were appropriate for that particular instance, but they were from a comedian who was also at the Tom Brady roast and delivered lines that were even more harsh than that.
Oh,
because, you know,
yeah.
Sometimes a comedian Tom can Brady. Do that and it's still funny, right? So that's really unbelievable that they, you know, they don't ever want to provide context for anything else. But boy, when Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are in trouble, let's give you some context. Here's what our vice president said.
Listen, I think that, first of all, he clarified his comments, but let me be clear, I strongly disagree with any criticism of people based on who they vote for. It's, you heard my speech last night and continuously throughout my career. I believe that the work that I do is about representing all the people, whether they support me or not. And as president of the United States, I will be a president for all Americans. Whether you vote for me or not.
You know, she's so full of it.
You can just hear it.
And she's trying to, you know, do something now to make this not reflect as poorly on their side as it has already. Now, here's the other thing that's interesting. And I have a comment here. I haven't heard this from, this is Dana Perino. Because the other thing that they did, not only Politico, the New York Times, they're all correcting this for the White House, right? They're putting this into context.
They're adding punctuation.
Oh, yeah. Right, exactly. And they did it in the White House transcript as well. And here's Dana Perino talking about that.
White House staff, press staff, changed the transcript, which is like big no-no, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and they tried to make it look like, oh, it was singular, they used an apostrophe. I'm like, if you look really closely, maybe you can see an accent or a tilde or an umlaut. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's not what the president meant. Then, you know that the president of the United States didn't write the tweet.
Yeah.
They're trying to match that up with what the White House press office said.
It's disgusting. At this point, what impact does it have on the race? I don't know, because so many people have voted. But this was an interesting little episode in the last couple of days. And I'll be curious to see, you know, what the realistic impact is. But you have the legacy media out there scurrying to make apologies for this president and this ticket. We have one hell of a show today. Fred Bottomer is mainly responsible because he nails these guests down. And, you know, I just toss out some names.
How
and
about
then,
Fred Bottomer
right,
over there, ladies and gentlemen?
We're going to try to get our best pundits on the air here before Tuesday. And ladies and gentlemen, I think you are aware we have great pundits. We have pundits that you see on all these other networks that are on this show, and they have been for years. Like my friend Josh Krasauer. We've talked to Josh, Fred, I don't know, I might have talked to him now for 20 years at several outlets, right?
Right.
Because I've been with him for a while, and he's been great to us. He's a Fox contributor. We don't pay these guys, you know, $10,000 a month or $20,000 a month like the networks do, and they're very, very good to us, and I appreciate that. So we got Kilmeade coming up here in a couple of minutes. I know he was digging in and dialing down on some of the swing state polling today on Fox. Selena Zito, who, of course, was on the stage with Trump in Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is her state. So she's great at reporting on the whole landscape throughout the country, but she knows Pennsylvania very well. And, you know, this John Fetterman stuff, I played some of that audio yesterday from Fetterman. It's really interesting because he's calling it like he sees it with Trump's support in Pennsylvania.
You've said that Trump has a special connection with the people
100%.
Of Pennsylvania. Why? What is it that you see that he appeals to in your state?
There's a difference between not understanding, but also acknowledging that it exists. And anybody spends time driving around and you can see the intensity, it's astonishing.
Yeah, so it's real in Pennsylvania. What that means in the end, we won't know until, I don't know, next Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I'm not sure it's going to happen on Tuesday. So Selena's coming up next hour. Josh Kay in the next hour. The legendary Ted Nugent. You know, I reached out to you when I was on my trip, and I said, I was thinking about Uncle Ted. We just had him on a couple of months ago. We don't often have him on this close. You know, too much of a good thing with Ted Nugent, that could be a little bit of an overdose and dangerous to the audience. But I decided to make that sacrifice today, and Ted will as well. He's very excited. I spoke with him a little earlier today because we're trying to get him to We forget this sometimes, Sue, to ask some of our great people, our very fine people, if you will, to say, hey, you're listening to The Mark Reardon Show, and do some liners, you know, those show liners and stuff.
Yeah.
So I spoke with Uncle Ted about that, and he has agreed to do some when he's not in the deer stand. And by the way, he may have to be in the deer stand this afternoon as well. Dwayne Patterson, who contributes at Hot Air, will also be with us this afternoon. So we're off and running here. We got a great show for the next 3 hours. Hang in there. Plus, audio cut of the day and, of course, Sue's news in the 4 o'clock hour. Kilmeade's coming up next. You know, we're at the point of the show here with only a few days left to the election that many of these conversations will be the final time before next Tuesday. I got Uncle Ted, my dear friend and blood brother Ted Nugent, coming up at 5:07. Josh Krasauer at 4:45. Selena Zito, all our great regulars at 4:25. And this guy, Brian Kilmeade, you heard him this morning on 97.1 FM Talk. He's back with us this afternoon. How are you this afternoon, Brian?
Oh, good, Mark.
Are you a piece of garbage like the rest of us right now?
Can you run that by me one more time?
I said, are you a piece of garbage like the rest of us are deemed right now by President Biden?
Yeah, well, I just can't believe they're spinning it that the vice president has got courage speaking up against her president. I'm like, what are you talking about? Courage. I mean, this guy screwed up. This guy's a mess. This is what he's been doing for 4 years. Saying things that make no sense, people covering for him. And now, when he says this, and it's on, and no one can spin it, now she says, you know what, I don't agree with him. Even Governor Shapiro says I don't agree with him. It's just what a disaster. If she loses, and there's an excellent chance she will lose, you will see the biggest Democratic civil war that you could ever see a party go through.
Well, I think you're right about that, and boy, I hope that certainly happens. But it's interesting because essentially one of the things that happened here is the news cycle, at least they thought, was going in their direction because they were talking so much about what happened at Madison Square Garden, and this just completely turned it around. No one's talking about her speech on the Ellipse last night, right? They're talking about this.
Good point. By the way, the Garden was great. Don't let anyone kid you. Because a comedian gets up there in the course of 7 minutes, says things that are distasteful, fine. How the hell do you put that with President Trump, especially the most controversial president we've ever had, the one that's always causing people to say, I can't believe he just said that. This time it has nothing to do with him. And they say this could be the breaking point. I mean, that just take a step back.
I know.
A comedian who he never met is the breaking point?
Well, but even better than that, and this is what I pointed out in the monologue, all this context that is being painted right now with an umlaut or apostrophe, right? All the context, the New York Times, Politico, the gang at MSNBC, they provided that same context on Monday morning and identified the comedian, right? No, of course they didn't. They put it all on Trump. So the context only flies for the legacy media in one direction, and people are onto it at this point.
I would hope so. Plus, if you're Puerto Rican, you're in Pennsylvania, well, that did it for you. The comedian on Madison Square Garden on a Sunday afternoon, that did it for you? I mean, give people more credit than that.
Even
the hell would you say, well, God, this guy's foreign policy's got to be bad if a podcaster says offensive things at a rally?
Oh, I know. By the way, speaking of podcasts, I don't often do this, but I listened to the whole Joe Rogan podcast with Trump. Did you check that out at all?
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
It was really good. You know, so we're talking about it. New York Times ignores it. She decides not to do it, even though, as she told Governor Whitmer, she's having a problem with men. So decides not to do the number one male podcast, but that's her decision. And people aren't talking about it. You know, so they talked about how he was late to the Michigan event, but most people stuck around anyway. So I thought it was really good. And I thought he was smart to say, I like her to come on, too. I'm not going to grill her. I just want to have a conversation with her.
That's what he said.
And he says, yeah, meet me in Michigan and make it 1 hour. Don't think so.
Yeah, no thank you. Now, I saw you on Fox this morning digging into some of the swing states and, you know, really dialing in on some of the trends there. So what are you seeing right now? Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Georgia, Nevada?
Well, I think in Arizona, you can honestly, I haven't seen anyone who doesn't think it's going to Trump. And then Nevada, early voting is really going Trump. And it's shocking everybody. Everyone says, I get my hopes up on Nevada, but Republicans do anyway, and Democrats are always confident they'll get it. But this time, the president has gotten more Republicans out to the polls early, which no one thought was possible. So they're registered there, and I don't think he's trailed Nevada. So it leads the blue wall forward. Now, if he's not doing, If he's not surging in Pennsylvania, how do you explain Dave McCormick? Dave McCormick, when I caught up to him on the road last month, he was 8 points down. Sometimes he'd get within 4 points, sometimes 8 points. Now he's in a dead heat. Now, no offense to Dave McCormick, but he's not the second coming of, you know, Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan. He's got a great resume. He'd be a great senator, fantastic senator, West Point grad, self-made multimillionaire, a decorated veteran of the Iraq War. All this stuff is real, and before he was at the Treasury. But why is he gaining? I mean, why is Hovde in Wisconsin gaining? No offense to these individuals, but it's got to be Trump. And if these guys are surging, how could you not think Trump is the one dragging them? So as we search to find out if these pollsters truly understand the Trump voter, or now we can understand this hidden and embarrassed Vice President Kamala Harris voter. That's a new one. But that's a new one that the CNN's looking at now. A lot of people are embarrassed to admit they're voting for a woman. That's what they're saying. So let's just look at that. So I just think that there's a reason to think the blue wall is not crushed, but beginning to crumble. And then I asked the campaign director, I said, what are you worried about out of all the battleground states? They quickly said Wisconsin. So, you know, let's see.
Yeah, that's the one. Well, just because I have experience in Wisconsin, it's a very strange state politically. I'm a little surprised Michigan's on the line. I have more confidence, I think, that Trump can win Michigan than Wisconsin right now. But I do see things that are moving there. And Hovde in particular, I'll tell you one thing that's not driving his numbers. It's that goofy mustache he has. But I guess people up there must like it, Brian. On the media front, what did you make? I thought this was pretty interesting. And I was off on Monday. You could have spent a lot of time on it yesterday. But Jeff Bezos, you know, editorial on non-endorsements. And now, the aftermath of that, they say 250,000 people have canceled their subscription to the Washington Post.
Good. you know, he's got to straighten it out.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got to straighten it out. It's the most biased newspaper, like the New York Times. I mean, I don't even know what it says now, but about 3 hours ago, I looked at the headlines. Three negative Trump stories, and then Harris Hope. And I'm thinking to myself, really, even the last week, you're still doing this with all the scrutiny? You know, Trump is unhinged, and then should Harris be mentioning unhinged how unhinged Trump is? And, you know, I think that Jeff Bezos says, look, I'm saving all your jobs. You're losing money every day. And you don't know how many people don't even look at our newspaper because you're biased in the news division.
I know.
Not the editorial division. And now you're mad at me? I also have this unbelievable, this weird concept, is I work for somebody. And when these people decide they know more than Jeff Bezos and they decide to defy him and quit or speak out and lash out at him as they do the LA Times owners, don't they understand the reality of our business?
I don't think they do.
When people are buying these newspapers, they're losing money. They're doing it to balance out the country and the need for the fourth estate. And now they sit there and say, I know more than you, I quit, or I'm going to be critical of you. Just like the insurrection that got rid of Ronna McDaniel at NBC. I'm fully cognizant. I have a voice, but when you work for somebody, you have to balance that out with respect for the owner.
It's stunning to me that apparently you don't have to do that at the New York Times or the Washington Post. But, you know, what's interesting to me and perhaps frustrating is that you got all these people that are doing a knee-jerk and canceling a subscription all because of Trump, and they're not paying attention to the underlying message from Mr. Bezos, which, Brian, guys like you and I have been talking about for a long time. He says, look, with newspapers, we must be accurate. We must believe to be accurate. It's a bitter pill to swallow, but we are failing on the second requirement. Most people believe the media is biased, mainly because it is biased, but the message there was, we got to straighten out our act because the American people don't trust us anymore.
Yes. And he does not need this. You see his business, by the way, he doesn't have to work another day in his life or five lifetimes. So, you know, I see him all the time on his yacht, you know, taking whatever supplements he's taking to get to do what he's doing. And then he says, you know what, I think it's good for the country to bail out the Washington Post so it doesn't fail. And now he's saying, guys, our product is not good. I'm just going to lay out for now. And then the LA Times, USA Today, Tampa Bay Tribune, the Washington Star Tribune, excuse me, Minnesota Star Tribune, they all say the same thing. We're not going to pick a candidate.
Did the Star Tribune do the same thing in Minneapolis? They did too.
Yes.
Oh, I did not know that. That's interesting. I mean, this guy, this governor of Minnesota, Brian, I tried just for a moment to envision him on a world stage, and I can't do it at all. Not like even for a second.
Well, I mean, I have a better vision of him with AOC playing Madden
yes.
on an NFL Sunday. Okay, that was ridiculous. I mean, what is he trying to do? I mean, go to a football game. I mean, that's what Trump does. He actually goes to a real football game because he's not afraid of being booed. And, you know, the governor of Minnesota is being booed. He's extremely unpopular. He's not a popular. He's not well-known. He's not well-respected. He didn't work, you know, he didn't step up during the pandemic. He failed miserably. He's a huge spender. He took a cut, you know, you look at his track record in Minnesota. This is what you're going to be dealing with. Ladies and gentlemen, if you choose Kamala Harris, this is what you're dealing with. This is her decision. The other decision that she was the last one in the room on Afghanistan. That whole last four years where they got Joe Biden 38%, that's her. She was at 32% before Beyonce and everybody else ran to her side and wants us to have short-term memory loss. Understand, she had one decision, and that's what she chose over Mark Kelly, who I am a fan of his resume, not of him as a senator, but an astronaut and a fighter pilot and a West Point grad, and then you have this guy, a sitting senator, and in a battleground state, and said you pick a guy from Minnesota who's not popular with the people of Minnesota in a state that you would win. So that's what you have.
Yeah, great decision-making there. By the way, speaking of astronauts, Buzz Aldrin endorsing Donald Trump today. I can't imagine that you're not going live on Saturday night, Brian. What do you got set up?
Yeah, I'm live, definitely. And I'm live Sunday morning, too, on Fox and Friends. What we know for sure is I'm going to have Dan Crenshaw and Michael Waltz. I'm going to have Pierce Morgan in studio. Who else can I say for sure? We're getting somebody from the Trump campaign. I told them we need somebody good, and hopefully they're going to come back with us. I'm going to have Robert Davi, the actor, talk about these celebrity endorsements. And is it true that Republicans, there's a lot of Republicans like Whoopi Goldberg, in mostly Republicans in Hollywood, as Whoopi Goldberg stated. I believe Robert Davi is an army of one.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're working on a few of the guests, but I'll kind of lock that in on Friday morning.
Can the Dodgers survive another game in New York City, or is it going to go back to L.A.?
What is your take on that foul ball that was ripped out of Mookie Betts' glove?
Dude, what is wrong with the fans in New York? I mean, when you see that in slow-mo, I'm going to talk about this a little bit in the next hour. When you see it in slow motion, what were those fans thinking? And they're probably heroes today in New York City, though, right?
Not really. I mean, he didn't really do anything. I mean, it was out.
Yeah.
Immediately. So, thank goodness. Imagine if Mookie Betts was hurt.
Well, he could have been hurt. He really could have been hurt. I mean, they were grabbing his arm. And I got to say this, and Freddie Freeman, this guy, I just love him and what he's been able to accomplish. I'm a baseball fan, though, so I'm okay with the Yankees victory tonight and one more game. Maybe it goes to game six, Brian. Have a great week. Enjoy the election. We'll talk after the results are in, which may be in January, I think.
All right, go get him on.
All right, see you later. That's Brian Kilmeade. You hear him every morning here on 97.1 FM Talk. Yeah, I do want to spend a little time on the World Series. We'll do that before Sue's News in the next hour. I think this might be the last hot day, though, because it's going to start to cool off. This is embarrassing, Sue, but I did put my air conditioning on, and I set it to like 75.
Oh, did you really?
Just so it heats up quite a bit in my upstairs, and yes, I'm spoiled, but I'll turn it off like right when I get home.
Okay.
But I'm thinking this is the last day for the air conditioner.
It is, because the high tomorrow is supposed to be 66.
Yep, absolutely. And that's okay. I like fall, especially sunny 66. That's beautiful. Sweatshirt weather. We got a loaded show today. Fred has done an amazing job of loading up A-plus list guest Josh Krasauer in the next hour, and Selena Zito. Those are both regular contributors, not only on this show, but many national shows. You'll see them on Fox all the time. My friend Ted Nugent will be here at 5:07. I thought of him when I was driving back from Texas, mainly because I always think of Ted shooting hogs from a helicopter, one of my favorite stories that he's ever shared here on my show. But he's going to join us after 5 o'clock. Dwayne Patterson, who contributes to hotair.com, will be here at 5:25, and we'll have audio cut of the day. You know, I subscribe to all these legacy newspapers and waste my money because I feel like I have to do it for the show and I meet the paywall. Every once in a while, I found some nuggets, you know, find some nuggets that are interesting. I actually have a couple of good stories from the Washington Post today that are completely off of politics that are somewhat interesting. But in the New York Times, they've been doing this this thing called America in Focus. And I've been sampling some of the pieces. And this one really caught my attention today. What they do is they go out and they talk to real voters. And then because of the, you know, the technology that they have, they use graphics on the stories. And I'm reading it on my iPad, and you can do this on computers too. But they actually show the voters, and they show, you know, who they are, like Aaron, 54, Black Democrat, janitor, Amira, 24, White Democrat, lawyer, Angie, 54, White Independent, Aranya, 27, multiracial independent employed, Kyle, 35, White Republican manager. Now, just bear with me here because I'm identifying 11 people. I'm going to tell you how they feel about this election.
All right.
Then there's Michael, 35, he's white, independent, unemployed. Michael W., 30, Black Democrat, fast food employee. Muhammad is 25, Asian independent. Nicole, 42, Black Democrat. Peter, 54, white, independent stage actor. Sarah, 43, white Republican homemaker. Nobody over the age of 55. Okay, nobody over the age of 55. Most of these people are under the age of 50. Many of them, I would say there's, wait, one, two, three, 350-year-olds, but most of them are under the age of 50 for sure. All right,
right.
So the story says this, and they've been doing this with the sampling of voters at the New York Times. But this one focuses on Michigan, okay? And The New York Times says, as the votes were counted on election night in 2016, the first big sign of trouble for Hillary Clinton came from Michigan. And I remember this well. I was on the KMOX studio doing the coverage that night. Arguably the most Democrat of the presidential swing states. In 2020, Joe Biden flipped it back to the Democrats. Now Kamala Harris and Donald Trump appear to be in a dead heat. So they go on and they kind of explain what they're doing here. And they say that the Times Opinion Focus Group, Sue, they gathered a cross-section of Michigan voters to assess the race. The takeaway isn't especially positive for Kamala Harris. Our five independents, four Democrats, and two Republicans were clear on a few points. Most want significant change in America under the next president. Well, that ain't going to happen with Kamala Harris.
No.
And the bulk of them cite the economy as their top issue, and they care more about the candidate's policies than their values. One voter was troubled by Ms. Harris's support for arms to Israel and is leaning toward Jill Stein. That hurts Kamala Harris in Michigan. That is just like a vote for Trump. It really is. Others thought Mr. Trump didn't understand what it meant to struggle financially. Perhaps the most worrisome for Ms. Harris, nine of our 11 participants thought she would pursue policies similar to Mr. Biden's. You think?
Yeah.
Muhammad, 25, software engineer, registered independent, who voted for Biden in 2020, says he was struck by a recent TV ad showing Ms. Harris on The View, saying this is where these ads get very interesting and how they impact people. Remember, she said she could not think of a thing that she would have done differently from Mr. Biden. The Trump campaign spun that. Might have been a pack that spun that into an ad. For him and others, Harris's problems boiled down to two words, change and Biden. That's not good for Kamala Harris. Muhammad said, I understand not pushing Biden under the bus, but she needs to be more authentic and actually take responsibility for the failures of her administration. She was the border czar, Muhammad said. Oh, my God. Did they not correct this guy? The New York Times? She was not the border czar, even though she was.
Of course she was.
Of course she was, right? And this guy knows it, even though Joe Scarborough and Mika. And even this is what disappoints me about, like, I was heaping some praise a couple of weeks ago on Charlemagne. And he even went back into that stupid, you know, corner with some nonsense on the border czar last week when he interviewed her a couple of weeks ago. Some participants enthusiastic about her energy and ideas and thought that as a woman, she represented change. But as for who will win Michigan in the presidency, these voters thought the race was trending toward Trump, even though several of them saw him as dangerous and unhinged. What they did is they identified the participants. I sort of read their names to you. And this is how they've done all these pieces, and I've read quite a few of them. They asked some questions. In one word, how would you say you feel about the November election? Anxious, indecisive, exhausted, motivated. That's a Democrat that said that. Excited, frustrated. They're talking about some of the ads and how abrasive they are. They're, you know, exhausted by that. What is this election about? One guy says power. Somebody says it's about democracy and about truth. Is there any kind of objective truth? I think the answer to that is no. It's a power struggle, says Amira. Right now, the candidates are saying, I'm better than this other person. They're not actually giving us any information about what could change. Fair amount of truth to that, right? Angie says, I think it comes down to America's values, freedoms, choices, honesty, integrity, immigration. How much is too much, or how much can we afford to offer? I think that kind of dials in on the resources for American taxpayers versus migrants that aren't here legally. Raise your hand if this issue is going to play a major role in deciding who to vote for. The economy. Everybody raised their hand. Immigration. That was a little bit more split. Now, these are people in Michigan, many of whom are people of color, but they did say three of them said, you know, immigration, big issue. four said democracy, four said abortion. Interestingly enough, five said foreign affairs and security. And a lot of this is because of the Muslim population in Michigan. So Aaron, Amira, Angie, Kyle, and Peter all said foreign affairs and security. They talked about the economy. How do we, you know, fix the economy? What matters most? And they all talked about the cost of living and some plan of action moving forward, how the American dream is becoming less and less of a reality for a lot of people. So there's a lot of that. It's hard for me to tell or to think, Sue, that hearing all of this, and I'm scouring, right? I'm looking at what's happening in Michigan, Wisconsin. I'm seeing no signs at all. And I mean no signs at all that Kamala Harris is going to win this race next week. I'm not seeing that she's going to win Michigan. I'm not seeing that she's going to win Pennsylvania. Again, Wisconsin's kind of my wild card there. I think maybe she can pull out a victory just because that is a weird state. But look, nothing is trending. In the legacy media, in the New York Times, the Washington Post, they're kind of admitting it right now. Now, again, we got to be careful. You don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Yes.
But that was very revealing, I thought. Talking about Michigan, seems like the New York Times reporters think that Michigan is going to Trump.
Get more at 971talk.com.